We are in Parashat Vayeshev. We're going to read out of the Zohar on page Kuf Ayin Tet Amud Bet 179b. Now, I would recommend to go online and see the previous classes that we had in previous years, because we're going to continue from where we left off. It's not that you're going to not understand anything in this class because you didn't see the classes, but I would highly recommend to see the previous classes, because they're very applicable to what's going on right now in our day of age. And needless to say, powerful messages all around the theme that Yaakov Avinu, you would think, would have a great life. He's the selected of all three fathers, a righteous, pious individual, and you would think that life should go pretty smooth for him. But his brother wants to kill him. Then he's working for his father-in-law for 20 years in a place of filth. And he goes out of Haran. His brother's after to kill him. Then his daughter gets raped on the way. Then his son gets kidnapped and disappears. Then he has to go to Mitzah. Oh, what Yaakov went through. So the previous classes we were talking about why, how, what, when. I'm not going to repeat that now. But what we can relate is we also have a lot of suffering on our plate. And many people can question and say, I'm a good person. I mean, maybe 20 years ago I wasn't such a star. But I'm a pretty good person. Why do all these bad things happen? And some question, I'm not a good person, but that person is good. Why is he having bad things? And there's many questions come up when it comes to why do bad things happen to good people. So it's very hard to recap the classes from previous years, but you can find them online and be inspired and educated greatly. I do recommend to see them. They're very, very powerful, the classes of Remember Parashat Vayeshev. But we were talking about how Yaakov, the last one we were talking about, and this is where we're going to take off, and don't worry, the class is not going to be affected if you didn't see the previous classes. I'm just telling you as a recommendation, they're a very, very strong message. Especially now when we're going through very hard times in our generation, people fall into despair, lose their hope, and feel that their world is collapsing in front of their eyes and don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it says that Yaakov, you know, he finally got out of the bondage of his father-in-law, Lavan, who, by the way, we spoke about it not once and not twice, one of the original Freemasons, if you want to go all the way back, I mean, our generation now, 3 years ago you told some person New World Order, they didn't know what you're talking about. 3 months from now, oh, now everybody knows what the New World Order is. That's the irony here. A few years ago, you would tell people about some individuals, you would mention the name Bill Gates. Oh, he's a nice guy. He's some computer geek that made Microsoft. He didn't make Microsoft. He stole all the software. He didn't do nothing. He's not such a geek. And it's not a he, by the way. It's a she. But that's, we'll leave this for now. But the point is that who knew about these things? Now you tell names, you throw names. Oh, of course. Talking about Freemasons, New World Order, and all this. Oh, suddenly everybody's educated, Baruch Hashem, because close to the end of days, all the junk starts surfacing up. And what you know up to now is nothing compared to what's going to really surface up very soon, to a point that people are going to hold their hairs. They wouldn't believe what you're going to start finding out about world leaders, individuals, and so forth, and really what's going on around the world. And so going back to Lavan was, the ultimate, the first, the founder of Freemasons was Nimrod, of course, which tomorrow we're going to have. I highly recommend to you to attend tomorrow's class of Zera Shimshon, because we're going to talk about that a lot and how it's connected to our generation, where it's coming from, what's going on in our generation. A lot of people discounted that it has nothing to do with the Torah, but the Torah goes out of its way to tell you about these individuals, whether it's Nimrod or Lavan or Esav, which I explained not once and not twice, that all the troublemakers in our generations are descendants of Esav, coming from his son Elipaz and Amalek. and so forth. And then there's another branch coming out from the side of Lavan and Nimrod. We'll learn that a little bit more in depth tomorrow in the Zera Shimshon class. But now we have to figure out that Yaakov was in the house of Lavan. We read in the Torah last week, we read that he was an idolater and Rachel stole the idols, and these were not some simple idols. I told you already that the Kuntrasa Yichaeli, that was the question. About 80, 90 years ago, we were questioning this great rabbi about halachically, what do you do with these people who call themselves Freemasons? And he made his research to a point that he made a halacha ruling. You're not allowed to associate with people like that. You can't even count a bonei chofshi, a Freemason, and a minyan. And how did he title them? That they're oskim be maase Lavan Arami. They're doing the rituals of Lavan Arami used to do 4,000 years ago. All these satanic rituals that they're doing now, which you don't know nothing about them, Lavan Arami did that already when Yaakov was there. Right? So when it says that Rachel hid the idols, she didn't know what she was doing. There was not simple idols. These were skulls and different bones, and they used to do all sorts of rituals with blood and burns and fire, and the skulls would talk, and we're not going to get into this right now, but this is what the Kuntrasa Yechil is, Tiksei Lavan Arami. The rituals of Lavan Arami. They used to do all sorts of rituals then. And Yaakov is in this place of filth. Finally, after 20 years, he gets out of it. And what's waiting for him on the other side? Not a welcoming committee. Rather, a brother wants to kill him. He's coming to him with 400 men. And we read that last week. That passes. That danger passes. Okay, Shechem takes his daughter and rapes her. And then the whole story goes with that. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Then after that, Yosef disappears. And a life of problems. So, we can compare our life to, if you think you have problems, look at Yaakov. He had a few more problems than you. But, again, just to move forward, I recommend you see the other previous classes. But now we'll see how we continue from this point on, because it says, the commentary says that once, right after he came out of Haran, he wanted to already kind of retire. Go to South Florida, buy a yacht, sit there in, I don't know, Boca Raton or something. He wanted to give me some quiet, peace and quiet. I mean, that's what the commentary says. The commentary doesn't say Boca Raton, but he wanted to retire. It says, Miyad kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef. Right away, the whole story with Yosef jumped on him. Oh, now I have to deal with that. And, of course, we explained in the previous classes how the Yetzer Hara comes to constantly trouble us in our life, to get us distracted and to cause us hardship and despair. But you know what? You get the best out of you when you're under pressure, and many other things. But let's continue, and then we can connect everything together. You might have to follow the next few classes to really be on top of what we're talking about. And we'll highly be recommended to see the previous classes. But now let's continue for the text. Now, in order to explain the next part from the Zohar, and again, if you want to follow, we're in Parashat Vayeshev, page Kuf Ayin Tet, 179b, mamash, almost towards the end, almost flipping to page 180. But it says as follows, in order for us to explain the next part, the Zohar pulls out another verse, and this verse comes from the book of Yeshayahu, chapter 57a, Isaiah 57a, Nunzain Aleph. And it says as follows, Kasher HaTzadik Avad. First of all, let me read you first the verse. The verse is, HaTzadik Avad Ve'en Ish Sam Alev Va'anshei Chesed Ne'esafim Be'en Mevin Ki Mipnei Hara'a Ne'esaf HaTzadik. Okay, that's the verse. I will translate. You don't have to now look at me like as if I fell out of the heavens. The righteous man has perished, but no one takes it to heart. And men of kindness are taken away with no one understanding that because of evil, the righteous man has perished. Okay, maybe I didn't translate it 100%. Go look at Isaiah 57a, Yeshayahu Nun Zayin Aleph. And it says, Hatzadik Avad, the righteous person, was removed from the world, died, right? Ve'ish, ve'en ish sam lev. And nobody noticed, or nobody's paying attention, or nobody's taking to heart that the righteous man has left. Not to pay attention is not the right word, not to take to heart. You know how many, just in the last year, how many great rabbis died? I don't know if you noticed. All the good ones have been taken. There's a reason for that, by the way. And not the corona. There's other reasons. But if you noticed, many, many great rabbis died in the last year. And you, do you pay attention? Why is the rabbis dying? Why they're all falling like flies? Excuse my expression. Why? Now? Why not 5 years ago or 10 years ago? I mean, oh, people always die. But in such a quantity, you're talking about hundreds. Not three or four. Hundreds of great rabbis died. And it says, V'ish and ish sam lev. Nobody's really paying attention, or nobody really takes their heart. Why? Lid bonen b'davar, meditate. Why? Why is the righteous person been taken away? Now there are great rabbis, and there are also tzaddikim. When a tzaddik dies, oh, what's going on? Why is Hashem taking him? Well, what's going on now with the generation that the tzaddik dies? A great rabbi, that's a great loss. But a tzaddik, a righteous man that dies, that doesn't happen so often. Machata. What? The righteous person died because he sinned? Maybe yes, maybe not. V'anshei chesed ne'safim, and men of kindness are taken away. Because, you know, here we're saying a rabbi, a tzaddik, man of kindness. Can also be a great individual, is a man of kindness. Ne'safim means they're gathered, taken away to a better place. Lachen ne'safim od harbe anshei chesed min ha'olam. When something, as they say, when it rains, it pours, a lot of men of righteousness, of kindness, are being taken. And that's really what's happening now in the last year, if you really pay attention. Always people die, unfortunately. But in the quantity, what happened in the last year, many great individuals, pious individuals, righteous individuals, a lot of rabbis and so forth. Why? Be'en mevin ki mipnei harabah ne'esaf ha-tzadik. Nobody understands that because the ra'a can mean evil, but because something bad is about to happen, then Hashem is removing the tzaddikim away. Chas v'shalom. That they should not get hurt. Ki en mi shemevin sheatzadik nistalek min ha'olam. People don't understand that the tzaddik, the righteous man, is being removed from the world. Why? Shelo yireh ha'ra'a mit'utedet lavo. That he should not see what's about to happen. I don't know if you noticed, but also in the 30s, a lot of big rabbis died. Not to see this Holocaust with their own eyes. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we learned at the moment that Esav comes into the house of Yaakov, and he sells him the firstborn for a bowl of soup. And it says that he was very tired. We explained that that day he killed Nimrod. But why was Yaakov making lentil soup? Because that's the day Avraham Avinu died. And it says that Avraham Avinu died on that day. Why? So he shouldn't see his grandson going off the path to a very bad place of being a murderer and an idolater. And we find in many places that a righteous person is being removed from the world, so he's not going to experience any evil. We saw that also with Yitzchak, that he lost his eyesight. Why? Because the wives of Esav were burning incense in a way of idolatry, so he shouldn't see that. So it says here, the pious person, the righteous individual, is removed from the world, so he shouldn't see what is about, the bad is about to happen. Okay, I don't have to tell you if that's good news or bad news. Ve'ilu chazru Yisrael b'tshuva, but if the nation of Israel will do tshuva, Hayumit batlim agzera ra'a, the bad decree would be annulled. Oh, So now I'm just making an observation. In the last year, we have hundreds of great rabbis who died. So maybe they're being removed, not to see what's about to happen. But if we do tshuva, the decree can be removed or nullified. אבל מחר שאין מי שיבין, but since nobody understands why the righteous person died and removed from the world, אינם חוזרים בתשובה, they don't do תשובה. Now it's very important that you read to understand it in depth. Read again Isaiah 57a, okay? What is this verse? He's simplifying it by saying, because people don't relate, they don't make the connection that the righteous person, or many of them died, so they won't see what's about to happen. For us to wake up and do tshuva, so we don't do tshuva. I don't see Am Yisrael doing tshuva. Maybe a little bit. Chas v'shalom, I don't want to make it sound like we're not doing anything. But it can be done much better. That our nation and the entire world and mankind should do a great level of tshuva and repent, and things can change. לכן אספים עוד הרבה אנשי חסד. That's why many men of kindness, or what's called אנשי חסד, they do kindness and charity, they also are taken away. Okay. With that explained, now let's go into the Zohar and see what he says there. We're not going to get to do much, but we'll start. וישב יעקב בארץ מגורי אביו בארץ כנען. That's how the parasha starts, by saying that Yaakov dwelled in the land of his father, in the land of Canaan. And this is Yaakov, right? Because it's talking about his father was still alive. Yitzchak didn't die yet. And when all this is happening, Yaakov is a great leader, but his father is still alive. So it says that he lived in the land where the father was dwelling. Okay, that's what he took. Seven words and we're flipping page to 180. Now, in order to explain this little verse that Yaakov sat in the land that his father dwelled in, Rabbi Yossi comes and explains. Rabbi Yossi Patach. Hatzadik avad ve'en ish sam alev. This is the verse from Yeshayahu. The righteous person died and nobody is paying attention. Vanshei chesed ne'safim, men of kindness and righteousness, also been taken. Be'en mevin, nobody understands what's going on or making the connection. Ki mipnei hara'an nesaf ha-tzadik, because some evil is about to come and the tzaddik is removed from the world, so he should not be affected or chas v'shalom see it or come into any other sadness, or that the evil cannot happen if the righteous person is there because of his merit. So he has to be removed. If chas v'shalom, something bad has to happen, and there's a great righteous individual, a tzaddik, in the generation, in his merits, we are protected. And then it cannot happen. So Hashem says, oh yeah, let me take him home. No, you don't have protection. Now he explains, Hatzadik avad, the righteous man, avad means he left the world. We lost him. That's really the translation, by the way. Avad means he was lost. We lost, not him. You know, 450 years ago, one of the greatest of all tzaddikim lived right in this area of Tzfat, the Holy Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. People didn't understand what they had here when he was here. Everybody disliked him. I mean, this was an oasis of Torah. Don't forget, he came here, he was 36 years old with a black beard. There were great sages here like Yosef Karo and Meterani and Al-Sheikh and who was here. All in their 80s, 70s, 90s, great white beards, and suddenly this little kid comes and... But he came into the city, and nobody liked him, by the way. He wasn't so popular here. People think that people accepted him. He wasn't accepted here. He wasn't popular in the city. Only after he died, that's when people realized, what did we have here? We had the Arizal walking in the streets here. You think anybody gave him the time of day when he was here? Yeah, nobody looked at him in his direction. Man, same thing here. Sometimes the righteous person dies, so the word he uses is avad. We lost. Not he didn't lose anything. He's going to a better place. We lost him. Now he explains, the Zohar explains, Bezimna de kutcha b'richu, ashkach be'alma, v'lahave alma kitkayot, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is observing what's going on in the world, and the entire world, or its majority, is not worthy And rather it's judged on a negative side, which means rov ha'olam chayav. When did we see that the entire world was in a very bad state, that it was judged not favorably, but the complete opposite? In the right before the flood of Noah, the whole world was found guilty. Only one man, his three boys, and their wives. Eight people. Can you imagine? The entire world was found guilty. So had to come a destruction. Somebody sent me yesterday this, I told you, one out of 1,000 somehow slips into the system. So somebody wrote some funny comment, something along the way lying that after dealing with people, I understand why Noah took only animals into the ark. But somewhere along that line. But listen, this is a time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu looked down to the world and saw that all the world was found guilty. Had to come a destruction. Later on, another generation went against Hashem, Dora Falaga. Hashem observed, look what was going on. Okay, has to come now some type of a reaction. There was another flood, by the way. Most people don't know. There was a flood after that also. 2/3 of the world were underwater. Then came Sdom and many other situations that Absurm looked down, you know, observed at the world and say, okay, if the entire world is guilty, no question, has to be some type of annihilation, a disaster, a Noah's flood. If the majority is found guilty, then the whole world is judged on the side of negativity, not unfavorably, rather judged, and chas v'shalom, bad things can happen. And judgment is being called, ordered to dwell over the world. Why? Because of the sins of everybody in the generation. And it just gets the green light and it will come and bring destruction. And that happened many, many times, by the way. Sometimes it happened in a big scale. Sometimes it happened in a small scale. When you see a tsunami or an earthquake coming and killing 100,000 people, there was some type of judgment from the world above. And it came specifically in that way. Nothing is by mistake. And we saw that, unfortunately, in our nation. First temple, second temple. Obviously, there was too much sins. And the attribute that is called din, judgment, is being called. Has to be. That's how Hashem created the world, with judgment and mercy. But the Midat Adin is standing there. By the way, right now, the judgment, the Midah of judgment is ready. All it needs is the green light and Hashem Erachem, what's going to happen here. Why is that happening? Be'avonot ha'tachtonim, because of the sins of the people in the world below. Al yadei ba'alei hadinim she'omdim achen lif'ol. People in this world sin, and the judgment above them is just standing there waiting to act. But Ela shemamtinim sheitnu lehem reshut, but they're waiting for permission from the world above. Right now, if we would be able to see it in some type of a physical, even in a spiritual way, we would see that the attribute of judgment, there's hundreds if not thousands of judgments against the entire mankind, entire planet, just waiting in the heavens for the green light. It can come in a nuclear war. 2/3 of the world will be under a mushroom cloud. It can come in floods and whatever. It can come every once. It can come in many. Hashem has all the how do you call them, the options. There's a planet coming close to us, the Star of Jacob, or people know it as Planet X. Ooh, if it comes here, Hashem Erachem, what's going to happen to this planet? And people think it's some type of an invention. It's not. So Hashem has all His soldiers aligned. How the judgment is going to come to prepare the world for the redemption? It can come in a war that can erupt tomorrow, chas v'shalom. It can come in some evil regime that will turn the world upside down. It can come however Hashem wants it to come. And it can also be sweetened, by the way, if we do tshuva. If we repent, it will be sweetened. It will change. But don't think for one second it's not hovering over us. And Hashem is so kind that He's giving us a hint after a hint after a hint after a hint after a hint. I can put it now and repeat after a hint, after a hint. Do tshuva, get your act together, repent. Keden kutsha brichu. Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is he does? Natil zaka. The Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the ones who have the merit, the ishtakach benayho, that is found in between. So Hashem says, I'm going to bring wrath upon this world. I'm going to start removing the good ones. They don't deserve it. They don't need to suffer. They don't need to see what's about to happen. And also, in their merit, nothing will happen. Begin the ishri dina al kulhu acharanin, v'laishtakach man deyagin alayho. Why? That the judgment, the attribute of judgment, should dwell on the evil people, and the merit of the righteous person should not protect them. And by the way, when you see all the evil people in our generation that are popping up every day, not that they didn't exist prior to that, they were always there, you just didn't know they're evil. But there are many evil people that are planning horrible things against us. Don't think for one second that they don't have the attribute of judgments against them. If you are afraid of them, then you are a fool. You have to be afraid of the master of the universe. Some people say, I'm afraid, it's scary. Well, you're scared. You have to be scared of Hashem, not to be scared of some individual that wants to go cuckoo on this planet. And there are many of them, by the way, that have all these weird thoughts. But the Torah comes and says, Utsu etzavet tufar. They can come with some type of a suggestion or a thought. Don't worry, Hashem will nullify it. Like Bilam came to curse us, didn't work. They will say something, it will not have any existence. Why? Ki Emmanuel, because Hashem is with us. So you have to understand that all the evil around us, they're also under a magnifying glass. And Hashem is allowing them to do all sorts of things, only so the judgment will be worse on them. By the way, when people are asking, how come Hashem is allowing so many evil people to have so many plots against humanity, and they're successful? Because Hashem wants to have more judgments against them. It's kind of like the you know, I don't know how to compare it in other countries. It's kind of like I can compare it to the FBI in America. When the FBI wants to bring a criminal down, they don't come and arrest him for one count. They will find 30 counts. Now I'll take you down. Even if you have a good lawyer and you cancel 15 of them, I still have 15 counts against you. So this is kind of what Hashem does. He says, you think I'm going to find an evil person guilty? Let him do a lot of bad things. Now I'm going to have a huge case against him. Now the destruction is going to be 10 times greater. So don't worry, like I told you, go and buy a big bag of popcorn, sit back, relax, see the show and enjoy. But Hashem removes these righteous people. Why? A, that they should not be affected of what's going to happen. B, that their merit should not protect these horrible, evil people. Deha kol zimna de zaka shari be alma dina la yachal leshalta al alma. As long as the righteous individual, the tzaddik, is in the world, the judgment cannot control him or the world. So we have to remove the tzaddik. We have to remove him away. So we go getting an answer. Listen, we're talking here about the parasha, but I'm fast-forwarding 4,000 years forward. What's going on right now? Because you will look around and you see many people, good people are dying. Okay, that should be a good sign for us. Bad sign that something bad might come and happen. Good sign, get your act together, Hashem will forgive. Now, where do we learn all this from? I mean, what you're saying now is very nice. Where do we learn this? Menalan. We learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu, our great leader. Dichtiv, it says in the Torah, specifically in the book of Tehillim, chapter 106, verse 23. Tehillim Kufav Kav Gimel. Sorry, actually I'm going to take you to the same chapter, but instead of verse 23, go to verse 19. Ya'asu egel b'chorev. Right? They made a calf in a place called Chorev. Of course, this is all referring to the time of the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain for 40 days. comes down, sees a party, they're all worshiping a golden calf, and he gets angry and he smashes the tablets. We spoke before about the anger. Why do you think he smashed it? But nevertheless, where do we learn what we just said now? Okay, again, I recommend go to the book of Tehillim, open chapter 106, it's a long chapter, but read, we're going to quote verse 23, go to verse 19 first, where it says, Ya'asu egel b'chorev, they made a calf in a place called Chorev. At the end, I'm going to conclude something very powerful. And it says, Vayomer lehashmidam, and it was said, destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down from the mountain. They're all there making a party. And you know who made the party, by the way? The Erev Rav. The mixture of evil. Not the actual nation of Israel. It's this Erev Rav, this multitude of evil. They did that. That's what's going on right now in our generation as we speak. The troublemakers are the Erev Rav. Now the Erev Rav don't look with horns and fangs. They have suits, and a lot of them have beards and yarmulkes, and they know the Torah better than me and anybody else. Not that I know much in the Torah, but that's the real Erev Rav. It's called a sheep in a wolf. No, a wolf in a sheep's cloth. The Erev Rav are the world leaders, and even in our nation can be great, huge. I won't call them great, huge rabbis, but rabbis run big yeshivot, and they look very pious and learned, and many other situations. But the Erev Rav was the one who did the golden calf. What was right away the decision? What did Hashem say? Lash me down, destroy them. Pirush, what does the Zohar explain? HaKadosh Baruch Hashav Lashmid Et Yisrael Bamidbar Bavur Shechatu Ba'Egel. The Master of the Universe says, I'm going to destroy the entire nation of Israel. Why? Because they sinned in the desert in the golden calf. How come he didn't destroy them? Lule Moshe Bechiro Amad Baperetz Lefanav. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was there. And the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu stopped Hashem from destroying the entire nation of Israel. Now comes a big question. If the Erev Rav, the mixture, the multitude of mixture of evil, they did it, why are you punishing the entire nation? Because they didn't do anything. Why are you standing and not doing something? Daon Kiddush Hashem. You seeing Hashem being mocked publicly and you're not doing nothing? You deserve to die. I'm sorry to tell you. You could have done something. Not that I'm judging anybody. I don't know how I would behave in that situation. But when you ask, how come Hashem decided to destroy the entire nation? He could have said, okay, I will destroy the evil ones. Because the nation didn't say, why are you standing and not doing anything? You see evil in front of your face and you're not protesting? You're not screaming? You're not fighting for the honor of Hashem? I'm not telling you to protest now for the cost of cheese, what they do here. Hashem's name is being mocked and you're not going crazy? Sorry to tell you, then that brings judgment. So Hashem says, you don't deserve me being your God if you don't know how to protect my honor and my name. And that's really what happened. Why? They couldn't go crazy on them. Gather all together and go die on Mesirut Nefesh, self-sacrifice, give the life over, just that Hashem's name should not be mocked. Lulei Moshe Bechiro, if Moshe, his trustworthy and selected servant, Amad Baperetz Lefanav, Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was there, Lashiv Chamato Me'ashchit. Moshe Rabbeinu's merit calmed Hashem down from destroying. Which means that the hand of the destroyer was already like that. Let me destroy them. You think Hashem would do it? He would send an angel to do it. Leashchit et Israel, to destroy the nation of Israel. Lulei Moshe Rabbeinu shegen alehem. But Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there and protecting them. And not only that his presence was enough, Moshe also went out of his way and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you destroy them, take me out of the book too. I don't want to be part of this. Ubegin kach, and because of that, Kucha Brichu, the master of the universe, Nati Lezaka mi benayu vesalik leme alma. That's why the Kadosh Baruch Hu removes the righteous person from amongst us and removes the pious person from the world. Why? Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to pay the evil people what they're supposed to be paid. Which means that now, like I told you, not once and not twice, this is not our war. You can't do nothing right now in what's going on in the world. I told you last week and the week before, people think that a demonstration, a petition, you think that some politician cares about your petition? You can't do nothing. Between us, we can't do nothing. Your job is to follow the Torah, be on your best behavior, do tshuva, repent, do kindness and good, and pray to the master of the universe to sweeten the judgment. You, it's not your war. Not yours, not mine. It's not our war here. Our battle is to believe in Hashem. That's our test right now. How much belief and trust you have in Hashem, how much you're holding on and clinging to Hashem. The war is between Hashem and evil. Hashem is going to send his messenger, the King Mashiach, to destroy all evil from the world. That's it. Sit back and relax and just enjoy the show. But in order for Hashem to come down on evil, then he's removing a lot of the good so they won't get hurt. But the good news here is that Hashem says, I know there's a lot of evil. Let them do a lot, so I have more counts on them, more judgment, more destruction. Then I will come down and destroy them. But in the meantime, I'm moving the good away. Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down and will pay evil, vegoved shelo, and he will, as they say, finish the deal, the cheshbon, how we say, pay the debt. After all, Hashem has a 3,000 years cheshbon with evil. I told you already, not once and not twice. Now, before Mashiach is coming, Hashem brings back to the world, in bodies, all the evil people that did bad in the last 4,000 years. They're all here. Nimrod is here in somebody. Nebuchadnezzar is here in somebody. Titus. You name it, they're here. One of them is in Bill Clinton. One of them is in Bill Gates. One of them is in Soros. Another one is in... I'm not going to start naming all the names, but all the evil individuals in our generation are incarnation of some star from our history. I'm so curious to know who's who. Who is Nimrod in our generation? Who is Paro in our generation? Who is Titus? Who is Nebuchadnezzar? Who's Haman? Who's everybody? They're all here, by the way. Because now Hashem says, now in Hebrew we say, Soger Cheshbon, when you have an open account. Now it's time to close the debt. What you owe me and what I owe you. Oh, I don't owe you nothing. You owe me. For all the people and nations that went against Hashem, mocked Hashem. What do you think the whole entire generation? I'm just going to give you a sneak preview of tomorrow's class in Zera Shimshon. I mean, you see that the majority who are the evil people are the ones who go completely against Hashem. By saying there's no God. We need to annihilate 90% of the population of the earth because we need to preserve Mother Earth. There's no such thing as a God. There's no such thing as a soul. We want to control it. These are a group of people who are the most atheists. They think that they can engineer humanity, right, with all sorts of technology. And what is one of the main foundations that they hold by? That we came from a monkey. Right? That's what they hold by. They don't hold by that we are came from a divine power. But if you go back to the generation of Nimrod, that generation got three groups got cursed. I will explain that in depth tomorrow in the class. But one of them, their punishment, that they all were turned into apes. You know that apes were not created in the 6 days of creation. So they are right. They all come from monkeys. I'm not coming from a monkey. They come from a monkey. You're right. You came from a monkey. But all the evil, and these are individuals that deliberately, openly went against the master of the universe right after the flood. Let's build us a tower. Let's build us a city. It's exactly what's going on right now in the world. Let's go against the master of the universe. So Hashem brought all of them back. They're all here. It's going to be a party and a half. 4th of July is going to look like a day in the park. What's about to happen? You think Hashem is a friar, as they say in Hebrew? You think after 3,000 years, Hashem is finally coming back to the world? Don't you think there's going to be a production and a half? 3,332 years ago, what we saw with our own eyes going out of Mitzrayim, this is nothing. compared to what we're about to see. That's what I'm telling you. Sit back, buy a big bag of popcorn if you like popcorn. Better to buy maybe dry fruit. It's more healthier than popcorn. We don't want to support Soros with all his cornfields. But the point is, there's going to be a huge showdown very soon. You fasten your seatbelt. I want to see what's going on. I want to see how Hashem is going to come down to this world and fight with his army, this evil. So all these clowns from all the generations, they're all back here in some type of a body. They're going to have to wear name tags at some point that we know. Oh, that's Titus. The joke is that half of them were male, came now in female bodies, and you know, half of these leaders of the evil regime, they're all switching their gender. That's a real satanic concept of changing their gender. So they're all, you know, Michelle is Michael and Bill is whatever. They're all. I mean, I know it sounds cuckoo, but that's the reality. You have to look at it more in depth. You'll see that they all switch their gender. But the point is, and Hashem brought all of them back. Why? To pay the debt. Now I'm going to close the bill. Now let's conclude. Let's just go 1 second back. Then the Kadosh Baruch Hu pays to the wicked people, and he collects what is owed, honor, respect, and revenge. Sofe dikara, what is said in the end of the verse, ki mipnei hara'a ne'esaf hatzadik, because of evil, the righteous person is being taken. Meaning, explanation, adela yeter al shalta al alma, till evil cannot control anything in this world. Ooh. So what's going to be the end result? That the hand of evil will have no grasp on this world. Evil will be completely destroyed. Ne'esaf tzadik, and the righteous person is being removed. Why? Kedei shelo yakev b'tzidkato et hara'a. That chas v'shalom, maybe in the merit of the tzaddik, the evil that will come on the evil, not on us. That the chas v'shalom, the merit of the tzaddik, should not protect the evil people. Look at Avraham Avinu. He was about to protect Sdom to a point that Hashem told him, move away already. Move. But when Avraham Avinu stood there, nothing could happen. And at some point, Hashem told him, in other words, get lost, move. I want to destroy this place. Hashem, so to say, proved him wrong. There's no tzaddikim there. I have to destroy the place. But if chas v'shalom now we would have tzaddikim, then Hashem can say, I can't destroy now the evil. I have to remove the good to destroy the evil. Davar acher, another thing, ki mipnei hara'a, when it says the word evil, da yetzer hara. This is referring to the yetzer hara. This is another explanation, then we'll conclude two powerful things. When it says mipnei hara, why is the righteous person being removed? Because of the evil. The evil has to be punished. So the righteous is being removed. But using the word hara, this is referring to the yetzer hara. Yetzer hara is called ra, evil. Saying in other words, mipnei sha tzadik betzidkato, Shomer al doro, because a tzaddik, if he's a great pious individual, he not only guards with his merit the generation, he causes people to do tshuva. A great leader will cause thousands of people to do tshuva. Right? And if they do tshuva, they repent, then they change the surface of the generation. What do you think Mashiach is going to do? I mean, Mashiach is going to come at some point, we don't know exactly when. But if we would have now, I mean, we have great leaders, of course, spiritual leaders, but a real powerful leader now would take with him half the world and inspire them to do tshuva. That's what we're trying to do. But nevertheless, a good leader, not only that his merit stands for the generation, but also he makes sure that the generation doesn't sin. Now, this ra, this yetzer ra, who is that? That's the satan, the devil. Mekatreg. He comes and prosecutes. Now, okay, we call him Yetzer Hara, we call him Samech Mem, sometimes Satan, many call him Devil, Lucifer, call him whatever you want. But he comes and prosecutes. Ve'omer, and he says, Ilmalei tzadik ze ayu bnei adam chot'im. If this pious person wouldn't be here, then everybody would be sinning. I mean, he complains, hey, that's not fair. Because of him, nobody's sinning, I don't have customers. לכן, therefore, כדי לבחון את בני הדור, in order to test the generation, אם הם כשרים, if they're, the word is used kosher, but if they're pious, if they have the merit, ניתן רשות למקטלג. Then the prosecutor gets permission to remove the pious person. That's what's happening in our generation right now. Hashem says, let's see who in the generation has the merits to be saved. Now, when we have a great leader, inspiring everybody, getting everybody to do tshuva, like Isaiah the prophet, Yirmiyahu, got everybody hyped up, then maybe that's all in the merit of the tzaddik. Let's take the tzaddik away, now we'll see who's the real deal. Who's with Hashem, who's not. Who really has the merit to be redeemed, and who's going to go down with evil. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the prosecutor permission to move our power of defense to see what's the real deal. Now I want to conclude two powerful things here. The first thing here, let's go back to the chapter of Tehillim that I told you to read, 106. Read it. We were quoting and explaining verse 23. But I told you go to verse 19. I'll read to you in Hebrew, then I'll translate you the worthless translation, and then I'll explain. Ya'asu egel bechorev, they made a calf, a golden calf, in a place called Chorev. Ve'ishtachavu lamasecha. And they bowed down. Wow. Now the word that is the translation is as follows. They made a calf in Horeb and they prostrated themselves to a molten image. That's the worthless translation. Because what's the molten image? The golden calf. But the word in Hebrew that it's using is vayishtachavu, and they prostrated lamasecha. You know what's a masecha? A mask. A mask. You know how many places in the Tanakh it's referring to idolatry as a mask? Wow. I wrote down a list of all the places in Tanakh, in the entire 24 books, where it's talking about idolatry and heresy and calling it a mask. What was the name of the singer who said, well, isn't it ironic? I know. I wanted to see if you are on your tippy toes. Alanis Morissette. Well, isn't it ironic? Yeah? The song is Isn't It Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Okay, look her up on iTunes or whatever you find music. But anyways, of course, listen, I have to add some humor here. If not, we're going, you know what I mean? Like, but isn't it ironic? Don't you think? So, when we're going to the verse, when we're talking here about the destruction from anger, about the golden calf, about idolatry, then isn't it ironic that in our generation, everybody's walking around like, I mean, I know, sometimes it's speechless, I don't even know what to say. And you have billions of people walking around, bowing down to a piece of cloth, like as if that's going to save them from the horrible disease. Sometimes it's mind-boggling for me. I do not understand how educated, intellectual people fall for that. I don't know. I mean, I'm sometimes speechless. It's idolatry. I don't care about the ticket. I don't care about the ticket. You see me walking around in the street with a mask, give me a ticket. I'm not going to bow down to a piece of cloth. You know what? Forget about the ticket and the... You really believe that that's going to be your salvation? I mean, and again, and I know I heard all the answers already. You have to do ishtadlut. But the CDC says... And listen, we're not going to get into arguments right now. Point said that it's talking about idolatry, that they bowed down to a mask. The reality is, say whatever you say, I can care less from any heat that comes to my direction. The masks don't do anything. It's to control people, end the story, and to run their tests on their systems for face recognition, to see if the cameras will recognize you with a mask or without some type of a distraction. Try to open your phone with face recognition when you're wearing a mask. It's not going to open because your phone is not sophisticated. But the cameras of smart cities will recognize you with any type of distraction that is not a mask, by the way. Don't worry, there'll come the day that they'll tell everybody, okay, masks off. It's a practice. You know, for years I was wondering, how can a Holocaust happen? Years! It's mind-boggling me. How can a Holocaust happen 80 years ago? Now I look at what's going on and I understand clearly how it happened, with no violence, with no problems. So, ironically, and again, I know a lot of people disagree, I know a lot of people get hurt. I'm not discounting the suffering that people go through. I'm not discounting that people do die. People die from many things. And by the way, any normal doctor says nobody died from corona. They died with corona. They die from a pre-existing situation. Besides the fact there are certain places in the world that people, there's a lot of death. It's not from the disease, it's from radiation and from many other things. But of course, it's tagged as corona. But the point said is that the verses that we're talking about when it comes to idolatry, who do you think is going to come and save you? Bill Gates? Or Fauci? Or whatever? They're not going to save you. Only the Kadosh Baruch Hu, only the master of the universe is going to save you. Now let's jump forward to what Yahweh ends here. That the evil has to come down. Oh, I would say different. The judgment that will come as an evil way on the evil people is coming for the evil people. The wrath of Hashem is not coming on you. It's coming on evil people. So there are two options. Well, three. First option, that a person will be removed, a good person, will be removed from this world. Not to be hurt. Two options that are left is, on which side are you on? Are you on the side of good, the master of the universe, that he's the only one who can do anything? Or are you choosing to be on the side of evil? Now, if you choose to bow down to anything but the master of the universe, sorry to tell you, you choose to be on the side of evil, and maybe the wrath of the judgment will affect you too. Chas v'shalom. So you choose wisely, who are you taking? Which side are you taking? Now, we don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu in our generation. People wonder, how come Mashiach didn't come yet to save us? You know why? Should I read again? I will read it again. Kedei livchon et bnei ador, in order to test the generation, im hem kshirim, if they're pious, if they're real, if they're true and honest, if they merit to be redeemed. So the prosecutor has a lot of free hand. Do whatever you need to do. I want to see who's the real deal. Or as the Torah says, Mi le'Hashem Elai. After all the problems that we had, especially in the golden calf that we just read, Moshe Rabbeinu came and says, whoever stands on the side of Hashem, come to me. And you think everybody went? No. So you have to make a very quick thought in your mind, which side am I taking? Am I taking the side of the master of the universe that will overpower evil? Good, then you're in good hands. You have nothing to worry about. David HaMelech says, King David says in the book of Tehillim, Yipol Mitzidcha Elef, on one side will fall 1,000. Mimincha Urvava Miminecha, 10,000 on your right. Elecha Lo Igash, nothing will come to you. You are going to walk. Nothing's going to affect you. Not the masks, not the fake vaccine, not anything. People put their hope in a piece of cloth. People put their hope in some magical vaccine that is just going to kill you. That's what you put your hope in? And I know a lot of people say, but you have to do some type of effort. That's not an effort, by the way. You want an effort? Eat healthy. Exercise. Live healthy. Be positive. Do good things. You think you're wearing a mask on your face is going to make you strong? You're killing the immune system. Why? What kind, type of a hishtaglut is that? What type of an effort? You're not doing an effort. You are a sheep following orders. And into my, how I see it, you're bowing down. Sorry, you're bowing down to evil. I don't care about a 500 shekel fine. Not that I have money falling out of my pockets. But I walk in the streets without a mask. I didn't get any fine yet. Or as they say, knock on wood. I don't knock on anything. Foot, foot, foot. I don't believe in all that. Now you know what's going to happen now. I'm going to go out of the door and get a ticket. But I'm not getting bothered by police. You know why? Because when you have the fear in you, like pray, they come to you. I don't fall for that. I don't bow down. You don't want me as a customer, I'll go shop somewhere else. And by the way, I don't know how it is in other countries. In Israel, by the way, just that you know, it's illegal, and you can find it on the Justice Department's website, it's illegal for a store to force you to put a mask on. And shops tell you, put your mask on. I don't want to put a mask on. Who are you to tell me what to do? No, we're going to get a ticket. But anyways, we're not going to get into that because people, listen, I have a lot of compassion. I know a lot of people. I saw today, I was driving today. Usually I don't travel much. But I drove today and I made a quick analysis. I saw a lot of people in the street. Half are not wearing masks. Half of the mask is here, some type of like a scarf. Okay? And then some of them are with the mask on the face. And I made a quick analysis. The ones that are without the mask, they can give a beep about what, they don't care. The ones that are with their, on their face are either in such denial or such a state of fear or such, I don't know, I feel bad for them. I pray for them, poor people. And the one that is hanging here, they don't believe in anything. They just don't want the ticket. They don't want to be dealt with. Leave me alone. Here, I'll put it on. Yeah. So, but the point is, forget about now. I'm not judging anybody. I don't know how I know how I deal with situations. I'm not afraid of authorities because I'm not doing anything wrong. And the police themselves know it. It's illegal. And by the way, they're manipulating you, even in Israel. I don't know how it is in other countries. Go on the health department's website and you'll see what it says there. Nobody's allowed to force you to wear a mask. But the media and the propaganda. But you know what? Get the ticket. Go to go to in front of a judge. And I guarantee to you that 99% you're going to get it canceled. Because when you show the judge the actual law, I don't care about emergency state. No. So the point said, forget about now all the distractions aside. There's a lot of evil people in our generation, more than what you think, more than what you think they are. A lot of people, you don't even know how evil they are. And yeah, they're planning to destroy the world, control the world, kill the population, do all sorts of experiments on us, make us robots, etc., etc., etc. But you think anything is going to really happen? Hashem is laughing up there, he's cracking up. And he says, let them. I really see it like a group of gangsters planning the robbery. And the FBI is sitting like this, and let them do it. Why should we arrest them now? Let's arrest them while they're really in the middle of the robbery, in the act. So Hashem says, let them do what they want. Hashem is just being kind to us, and he's surfacing everything that you can make a quick analysis. Who am I with? Am I here or am I here? Hashem is giving us what we never had in the last 20 years. Don't think that these evil individuals did not have the exact same plan 20 years ago. Everything was already planned, very, very precise. Haven't you noticed that from the great event of 9/11 is exactly 19 years? From 9/11 to COVID-19, nothing is a chance, by the way. Everything is calculated and pre-planned. For years, you just never heard of it. And when people were talking about after 9/11, it was a conspiracy, it was done by the CIA, by an internal... What are you, crazy? Of course it was. You really think that a bunch of Arabs from Pakistan blew up the most secured buildings in the world with an airplane? An airplane cannot bring a tower like this down. They had explosives all over the building. An airplane cannot bring it. I have to be a complete idiot to believe that an airplane will crush such a building. And by who? But a few Arabs from Pakistan able to hijack in such a sophisticated way four planes? I mean, come on. I mean, you have to be like, and people believe it. Now, when you say things like that, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. But the thing is that the reality is all this existed even 20 years ago when you didn't know nothing about it. 40 years, 100 years, 500 years. El Chadash Tachat HaShemesh. King Solomon says, nothing is new under the sun. Haman, 2,500 years ago, what do you think? He didn't plan annihilation. And the rest of the cuckoos, what do you think? Nothing, something is new. You just didn't know about it. Now it's all surfacing. Suddenly everybody knows what's going on. And Baruch Hashem, by the thousands every day, people get educated and they're like, okay, thank you for enlightening me. So your job is, first of all, to discover the truth. But what anyways you need to do, then you have to share it. Don't be afraid to share truth with people. So 100 people will mock you, one person will thank you, you saved their life. And most important thing, and of course I'm not telling anybody to do anything, but why did Hashem wanted to destroy the entire nation? Because you didn't do nothing. There was a golden calf, there was idolatry, there was heresy. Mainly, there was mocking the name of Hashem, and everybody stood from the side. And you didn't do nothing. And that's what's going on right now in our generation. Don't be afraid to speak up. Now, I know, listen, some people are afraid to speak up. I'm not judging anybody. But don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to stick with the truth and says, listen, I'll die. I'll die with the truth. I'd rather die with the truth than to die like a shmati. And to bow down to evil that is going to be destroyed anyways. So point taken from this short class, which I don't even know how long it ended up being, but the point is, and we're going to continue tomorrow, this is just the beginning. I actually, like I told in the beginning, recommend you go back and see the other classes from previous years. But point said from now, listen, the Torah, people think it's a history book. It's coming to tell me about some guy 4,000 years ago that left Haran and he had a little sheep and 12 kids. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is coming to tell me right now in the year 2020 what's going on, what's going to happen, and what I need to do. The Torah is dynamic and the Torah is not ancient. The Torah is way beyond the sphere of this universe. And the Torah can tell me exactly what's going on as we speak according to what's going on right now. Don't think it's some prehistoric Bible. The Torah is not a Bible. That's why you don't call the Torah Bible. Torah is the Torah because it comes to enlighten your path. What is the path of righteousness? What is the path for good? How do I get attached to the master of the universe? So don't get distracted. Definitely don't fall into fear or despair. That's exactly what evil wants you to be, under fear. People are under fear. Why? Because a few world leaders are telling you all sorts of nonsense. What do you have to be afraid of? You have to be afraid of Hashem. You have to be afraid of a government. You have to be afraid of a virus. Now again, I'm not telling you just sit there and do nothing. You have to do your part, your hishtadlut, your effort, but your effort is really with good nutrition, sports, healthy living, and many other things. Not to close yourself in a closed apartment, cover your face and block oxygen to your brain. I don't even know how people think. I don't know how people, if I have to put the mask for 3 seconds, I don't know how people do it. I actually don't know how people do it. Don't be afraid of anything but the master of the universe. He's the one you need to be afraid of. If you are afraid of anything else but him, that's prostrating. That's idolatry. I'm afraid of this. No. Be only afraid of the master of the universe. And you choose to which camp you're going to. You're going to truth, you'll survive. You'll see the coming of Mashiach. Things are going to happen around you. Nothing's going to happen to you. You want to see and live to see the redemption and see these miracles? And I'm telling you, Hollywood is going to look like a joke after what we're going to see. Netflix is going to be completely a joke in the production that we're about to see. Don't think that Hashem, the master of the universe, the king of all kings, the creator of the world, that he's not going to come with a show and a half, coming to show his glory into this world, is going to be a show. This is not going to be some clouds and a thunderstorm or some rain. This is going to be a show and a half. So you prepare yourself well and don't be afraid. You want to be part of the redemption? You stick yourself to the truth and you bow down only to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you go and you fight zealously to His honor and His name. And you don't let anything else affect you. And the more you feed into fear and pain, then it's going to take over you. And don't think for one second, this is not your war. You're nobody to battle here. You let Hashem battle and we just praise Him. We just praise Him with our songs, with our prayers, with the Torah that we learn. We're just praising the Master of the Universe. Let Him do His thing. Also, when we went out of Egypt, 3,300 plus years ago, it says, we read it in the Haggadah, Ani velo malach, Ani velo saraf. Hashem said, I did it. I didn't send an angel to take you out. I did it. I came down and shifted the entire planet to a place people couldn't even fathom what they're seeing in front of their face. Can you imagine the sea splitting? Can you imagine seeing billions of frogs this size, balls of hail coming down from the heavens and destroying them? Sure, this is nothing. Nothing to what really was going on there and what's going to happen soon. You can imagine the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. All the world was there, by the way. Not only the Jews. The entire world saw it. The Talmud says that the nation of Israel stood around the mountain like a ring, and around there was another ring of all the nations. I can tell you, you're up to a show and a half, but just make sure that you are on the team of the winner, on the team of truth, and the team of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He will protect you. He will save you. You will be redeemed. As long as you don't attach yourself in any type of a way to the side of evil, and you do whatever you need to do, even if it's in a manipulating way, to survive this very special time. And don't worry, the end is very close. And we see that because Hashem is taking all these good people away. Why? He's making place for the wrath to come down, and the wrath is coming only on evil. Don't worry, you're going to stand like this. It's going to go above you. Next, it's not going to affect you. It's only going to affect you if chas v'shalom, you bow down to the wrong entity. You bow down to Hashem, exactly like you bow down, it's going to go over you. You bow down to the wrong entity, then you go down with it. Chas v'shalom. May Hashem bless us with great happiness, strong health, that we should see with our own eyes the powerful powers of the Master of the Universe, how He's going to come and uproot evil from the world, and where we merit to see with our own physical eyes this master show, this final showdown, and see with our own eyes the coming of our King, the Master of the Universe Himself, by the way. Don't expect anything else. Bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Hashem is going to be the king. En od milvado. But don't miss the show. Don't fall for some fake temptation. Now you know what they do. They're telling little girls, come, I'll give you chocolate. Take the injection. It came to some school of one of our students. An 8-year-old told her to get an injection. Supposedly the flu shot. A human experiment. Here, take chocolate. That's what they told her. She said, my mommy doesn't let. Those fake liars, horrible, evil people told her, we spoke to your mommy, it's okay. Really? Bribing an 8-year-old with a chocolate bar to get an injection. Be very careful. Evil is all around us. But you know, when you're strong with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you're holding, cleaving into Hashem with all your might, which means that you're honest, you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't slander, you don't look to the wrong directions, you judge people favorably, you bombard the world with acts of kindness, you do whatever you can, you're holding on to Hashem, you're untouchable. Nothing's going to happen to you. Not from a small virus, whether it exists or not, not from any evil regime, not from anything. You're going to be standing there not understanding what's going on. How is the whole world collapsing and I'm here? Because you're holding on to the Master of the Universe. Mezal Hashem, we all merit to see it with our own eyes and experience the redemption with chesed, with kindness, with mercy, with rachamim, very, very soon.